Good evening, everyone. We're going to get started. Welcome to P.S. DuPont Middle School here in the Brandywine School District. We are conducting our WEAC town hall meeting. This is the first, I believe, of five meetings that'll be held here in Newcastle County in the greater Wilmington area. So we're very pleased that we are opening this feedback session, if you would, here in Brandywine. We have our entire Board of Education joining us this evening. I'm just going to introduce our board quickly. Board President John Scrobot is with us. Vice President Ralph Ackerman is here. Board Member Joe Brumskill, Cheryl Siskin, Michael Falstad, Karen Gordon, and Kristen Pigeon. So I thank our seven board members for being here to be part of this commission meeting and also hear the feedback from our local community. And I'm going to turn it over to the two chairs, Dr. Henry Harper and Dr. Joe Pikes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. I wish I had a great big voice like that. I once did, but I don't have a great big voice like that anymore. We are here this evening to conduct a public hearing on the draft plan that has been released. And Henry Harper is here with me, as is Greg Coverdale, who is a member of the State Board of Education. For those of you who have not been to a public hearing before, Henry and I are the public officers for this event tonight. And just a few procedural items for the record. I'll be reading from a script. Later in the script, I'll open the floor to those who have signed up to make comments. I declare this public hearing to be open. My name is Joe Pica. I am the co-chair of the Redistricting Committee of the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission. I have been appointed by the chairman of that commission to conduct this public hearing. The Wilmington Education Improvement Commission Interim Redistricting Report was released on November 17th, and we are here tonight to gather public comment. This is not a question and answer session. And let me repeat that. This is not a question and answer session on that plan. This hearing provides the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission and the State Board of Education with an opportunity to receive public comment on the Commission's interim report that was released on the 17th of November. We also have other Commission members with us this evening. And rather than going around and asking everyone to introduce themselves, let me just introduce Tony Allen, who is the chairman of the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission. We also have up here in the front a court reporter who is present to provide an accurate record of this hearing. It will be necessary for each speaker to clearly identify himself or herself by name and affiliation before beginning to speak, so that the court reporter will be able to note who you are in the transcript. The record of this hearing and the other three hearings will be provided to the members of the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission and the members of the State Board of Education, together with any written or electronic comments received at this hearing or outside of this hearing between November the 17th and January the 14th. This meeting is also being recorded, and that recording will also be posted and shared with the State Board of Education for their review. We'll proceed in the following manner. We'll take comments from anyone who desires to speak. There are sign-up sheets at the back of the room. We have one that has been delivered to us from those who signed up early. If there are others who have come in later and desire to speak, please sign up on the sign-up sheet in the back of the room. Sign-up began at 6 p.m. and we will end that sign-up at 7:30, at which time we'll collect the remaining sign-up sheets. I'll allow individuals to speak in the order in which they signed up, and I'll begin with the first sign-up sheet now. Each individual will have 3 minutes to speak. Each group will be allowed 5 minutes to speak. And we have a timekeeper right here who will be happy to remind you of how that clock is going. Those giving testimony will be given 30 seconds warning and then will be told to stop after their time is up. For those who have come this evening with questions, I really am very sorry, but procedural guidelines do not allow us to answer questions during the public hearing. Okay? We'll start then with the first person who was asked to give public comment, Joseph Lazartic. Mr. Lazartic. We'll move on then. The second one is Jay Noonan. Okay, just a sign. Third, Ashley Dalzell Gray.
I too saw it with a sign sheet.
Hi, my name is Ashley Dalzell Gray. I'm a parent here at PS, so I am in the Brandywine School District. I guess one of my concerns or questions about this is, as a parent with children in here, are we, again, I guess, as again, I'm not sure, and it doesn't make clear in the plan, how the commission is going to guarantee that redistricting in and of itself will be of benefit to the students. I don't see anything. It sort of seems to be redistricting for the sake of redistricting and trying to identify the needs of low-income students. But again, as a parent, having just also gone through Race to the Top, I'm concerned that at the end of the day, there's no real implementation plan in here that guarantees me as a parent that the changes are going to be the benefit, and there's some way to guarantee that the changes are going to be a benefit to the students in the classroom. Seems to be a lot of rhetoric, but not real concrete plans, if I'm reading this correctly, of like what is really going to be impacting the students, other than changing them around from one building to another building. And at the end of the day, how do we make sure that the students get the actual resources they need, other than just the adults changing the landscape a little bit and not really impacting the classroom? So that's my public comment. Okay, and again, and I would say also for the various board members that are present, both from the state and at the district level, again, decision makers, are you really making the right decisions on behalf of all children, or again, the perception of helping children, but again, at the end of the day, how are you as board members guaranteeing that this is going to change the lives of all students, not only those that are low income, but also for those students that are in the whole building? We need to make sure that our students today, whether they're from income, middle, low, high, whatever, that they have a culture within their buildings that brings all of them together to support each other and to make sure that when they get into society, that they all have the skills to understand each other's side of the fence. Does that make sense? So again, as board members, I really wonder, how is this plan going to be implemented, and how is it any different than all of the other plans that we've been hearing about through the years? So that's my concern as a parent with children in the district. Thank you.
The next person to have signed up is Len Church.
My name is Lynn Church. I'm a retired federal employee of 30 plus years, and I've been in the district for about, we'll say 30 plus. And what I just would like to propose to not only the panel here, but also the board, is that this was my high school, and there are some of my classmates that are probably here as well. And what we recognize in this process, can we lift this up? Whatever. But what we recognize in this process is something that was eliminated a long time ago in terms of we had people who were in Excel. And in Excel, one of the things I recognized as a young African-American male was I had someone to emulate in that process. And I also had someone who I could mimic. And I say that in terms of this. Those teachers that were put forward to us in Excel and the ones who achieved the ultimate in Excel were the ones who have went on to do other things. I would just like to say this. One of them was Velda Jones Potter, who actually was a part of this along with Representative Charles. Those were people who, as far as I'm concerned, they were ones who were high achievers like us all, along with Mr. Derek Johnson. He was one of the high achievers in this process. And I'm just utilizing those individuals because they may or may not be here. But the base of this process is that they were all mimicked by individuals who not only looked like them, but proceeded to teach them the way they were taught. Now, what I'm looking at in a broader scale coming up to 2000 and I could go to 78, but I want to come up to 2000 and let's say 14 for dates that passed me. But when the Warner School was discombobulated, and that's some of you board members remember that, you implemented those kids over to Shortledge, and that was K through 12. Well, those kids are unmanageable, and I'm quite sure that the board knows of it. I'm quite sure you get quite a few complaints about that, and maybe the commission, maybe you just need to take some time out to go over there and see where the process may lie. But, and I realize that it's social problems and all of these other things, but after 9/11, one of the things we recognized was the state's demographics changed. And they changed because Delaware actually began to import people from out of state. I won't name those states because I'm quite sure if you don't know, you can look that up on the internet. But once they came down to take that land, that was an influx within the state economy. And those individuals who were there decided that they didn't want to send their kids to public school. And in that process, what they decided to do was push not only the charter school systems, but also the systems wherein which individuals would not be able to be educated along with my own. And when I say my own, individuals that look like me. Not overlooking anything in that process, just saying to the fact that these are direct facts that can be viewed and they also can be substantiated to where in which we also know that in that process, everybody has a right to choose, but the fact is that in the best interest of our kids? And when I say that, I just say that to this. Like I said, I'm a federal employee. I had 4 war campaigns. I survived. I'm back here. And the only thing I can say is this. Not only am I disgusted, but I'm appalled at what I see. Because how am I going to be able to pass on to the people that I train to recruit people to hold on to a system that's broken? And it is broken. And for some of us who don't want to realize that, I suggest that you ask yourself a question. Do you really want ISIS to be at your back door? And I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Mr. Church. The next speaker is Stephen Washington.
How you doing this evening? Just one question regarding the process. How many teachers are actually involved in this process?
As I said at the outset, we are not here to be able to answer questions for you, Mr. Washington. I'm sorry.
Okay, I just asked because in the process there has to be integrity. And if everyone's not included in the process, there's no integrity of the process. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Washington. Michael Falstad?
I didn't have any comment.
Didn't have a comment. State Representative Potter.
Good evening. How's everyone? I'm one of the ones who helped put the legislation together, along with Senator Henry, to make this happen on redistricting, along with the moratorium on charter schools. And I just want this to be in the record that I believe greatly that we need to improve the education of City of Wilmington youth. My legislative district is located in the first district of in the City of Wilmington. Children have been disproportionately affected by desegregation, and I believe that the Education Commission plan to reduce the school districts from 4 districts to 2, and examining funding sources for students with extra needs as part of their overall effort will strengthen the education of the City of Wilmington and prove to be very beneficial to children in the city. I urge the State Board of Education to accept the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission plan in its entirety. No deviations. I want to thank you for your consideration. I want this to be part of the record. I'm here wearing 2 hats. Also, I'm going to give you this letter from the Delaware Black Caucus. And on behalf of the Delaware Black Caucus, please accept this statement of support of the redistricting in the City of Wilmington, Newcastle County's transition. It also goes on to say that the caucus extends its support to the long-term recommendations of strengthening the revenue base that supports public education at both the state and local levels. And you can read the rest as a part of the record. And I will just say, I know that Colonial wants to now expand their efforts into the city, and they only have a small portion of students in the city. And I say that, we need to reject that. This is a great opportunity for the city, the state of Delaware, to help make education right for the city and for the state, because as the city goes, the state goes, and we need to do the right thing now. We lived through this desegregation process, and it's been a failure, so let's get it right this time. Who should I give this to?
The court reporter. Madam Court Reporter, can you mark these, please?
Thank you all
very much.
Thank you,
State Representative Potter. Someone signing up, even as we speak here. Yes, thank you.
Can you also say if somebody didn't sign up, they want to speak, they still speak?
Yes.
So I heard anybody who needs to speak up and speak about the future of children's education. The next speaker is Nnamdi. Help me with his last name. Chukwuoko. Chukwuoko. Thank you.
Good evening, Councilman Nnamdi Chukwuoko, resident. This is my district. I welcome you all. Proud parent of a graduate from Brandywine High School, from Brandywine School District, Mount Pleasant High School. And I'm a member of the WIAC. I am, as State Representative Potter said, I'm hopeful, encouraged by the say, attention being given to the issue of education within the city of Wilmington. I am very, I won't you say cautiously optimistic, but I'm struggling within myself to find true just belief that as Ashley mentioned, the implementation of this great work that's being put forward is truly going to come. I remember early in the process, there were mention of the stars aligning and everything seemed to be lining up. And unfortunately for me, they aren't anymore. I'm really, again, struggling, trying to understand how we are believing that we're moving in the best interest of the students of Wilmington. And I say where we are, again, in Brandywine School District. I know that Brandywine and Colonial has presented their resolutions from their board. I know Brandywine, the board has stated that they don't want to increase the number of children being served. I don't see how we're moving to a two-district model when we don't have two districts moving forward together. I'm struggling with trying to understand how, you know, we're putting so much burden on Red Clay District and how we're giving Red Clay so much, I guess, credit in essence to say that they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And with Red Clay having the opportunity to have been the only district that is authorizing charters in the state, and we're saying that gives them the upper hand, but Red Clay hasn't, as far as the districts, their schools that they have chartered. They've been very hands-off, and they haven't done the best when it comes to educating Wilmington students, you know. And I struggle with that. I struggle with just thinking that things are going to work themselves out. I think that it deserves a greater deal of attention to play to the true implementation, what's going to happen, how are some of these things going to be put into place, the role of the city of Wilmington. I know it's been mentioned in the WEAC report about the Office of Education and public policy and how we begin to create a voice for the city of Wilmington in the education of its children. I believe it's important. I am, again, in support of the process, but I just see that there are gaps in the implementation, and I'm just struggling trying to find that true support for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Darlene Battle.
Good evening. My name is Darlene Battle. I'm the Executive Director for Delaware Alliance for Community Advancement. And I received this paper just today and reviewing it. I do have some concerns, and I know you guys cannot answer it, but I'm putting myself in a place if I was a parent. My question is, where are the parents? How is the message getting out to them? Why aren't there more folks here? And I just felt that you guys did a poor job getting the information out. Because I'm looking here, one, it says that the arrangement opposed by the court in 1976, it had failed the students, failed our children, black children. And then I looked over here and it says that it seemed like we don't have the money and you're going to fail our children again. With all, this is a proposal, and you'll fail our children again, unless all of the allies that is here is saying that they're going to put the funds up to educate our children. So I have a lot of questions. I know you guys can't answer it, but how was the information distributed out to the parents in all the school? I see one mother over here with her children. And I wonder if she, and no offense to you, does she really understand this? So that's my comment for now.
Thank you, Ms. Battle. Is there anyone else here in the audience who would wish to make a comment this evening? If you would sign up. Tasha Shackelford.
Hello, my name is Latasha Shackelford. My concern as a parent, I mean, I just literally today found out the information. Luckily, my cousin told me about it this morning. It's really concerning and alarming as a mother, as a parent, to try to merge three school districts into literally two. For one, you know, what are we thinking about as far as the children, as far as their resources, as teachers, as establishing the foundation first before we sit up there and try to, you know, dismantle everything? Let's try to build up the schools individually or the districts to make sure that we have stable teachers, teachers that are going to bring forth, you know, the performance of accelerating these children, as far as making sure that the resources are there for them to be able to grab on instead of just throwing everything together. Let's try to do that first before we try to, you know, just say, okay, we're going to do this and see how it goes. I think before you try to go out and just go on a limb, I think building a foundation first as far as something for the children to rely on, depend on, is more important than just saying, let's just do it. I don't know. I mean, it's just concerning. It's really alarming. And again, like, you know, the lady said before, there should be more people in the audience as parents, you know, but they probably didn't know, just like I didn't know. And I think, you know, moving forward, that you guys got to do better as far as this, so that we have, you know, there's more input. There's more, you know, people can really come out and say how they really truly feel about it and comment on it and voice it before you make a decision. So.
Thank you, Ms. Shackelford. Is there anyone else here this evening who would like to make a public comment? I don't see anybody else signing up. I don't see anybody running to the back who can sign up on the sign-up sheet. You can also all make private comments, and that can be done on the web, on the website, which is
solutionsfordelawareschools.com, www.solutionsfordelawareschools.com.
Right, so www.solutionsfordelawareschools.com, all one word, .com. Are we in a quicker meeting now? announced time is to wait until 7:30 as the final time to collect comments.
Yeah, but we have to stay late.
But for those of us conducting the hearing, we must stay until 8 p.m. And so for those of you who wonder whether there will be more comments, you might want to check in on our website to see if there were more comments, rather than waiting here in silence as we wait. Yes, sir.
Rather than sit here in silence, could we have a pause, and if somebody comes, then we can go back into session, that we can talk, so we can talk amongst each other? Can we do that?
In other words, hit the stop button on the recorder.
The recorder is right here. You can go off.
Why don't we adjourn for now? This is our advice we're receiving from counsel. We only have three lawyers here to give us counsel. So we can adjourn for now and then recommence in the event that there are more, when the flood comes.
Thank you.
We'd like to call this public hearing back in order, please. We'd like to call the public hearing back into session, please. We have four speakers who would like to make comments here for the public session. For those who arrived late, just to remind them that the comments are limited to 3 minutes for an individual, 5 minutes for an organization that might be represented. The first speaker is Rashima Dixon. You come forward to the microphone. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
Rashima Dixon, I work in probably arena of different things, but primarily been working in Southbridge and Eastside. So been more of within the Christina School District and seeing the effects of what the school district have had on our kids, especially in Southbridge, since a lot of our high school kids go to Newark High School. And a lot of them being suspended or have to repeat the grade because they missed 50 days of school because they couldn't get to Newark High School. So I know the trial and errors and them feeling like they have to give up because they can't get to a school. So I do appreciate the fact that we are trying to get them to come more into the schools that are here. The one part I think I struggle with too is that realizing that there's no public high school in the city of Wilmington, which was kind of really interesting to me of how the city is kind of set up without one. And kind of makes it seem like when we start having so many charter schools that are popping up, but also having some of the same challenges with our kids as our Red Clay, Christina, and Brandywine, and even Colonial will be having with our children, try to figure out, is this really working? And is it working all of the together? And being able to try to see and hearing that it was actually one school district in the city originally compared to with desegregation where they had it into four, I think it seemed like that's where the main issues started. And to be able to get to now, where it's now getting back to two, it seems like it'll be a hard time trying to figure out how our kids will really be able to transition within that. And I've been hearing from even some from the high school students already feel the effect of it, saying that why should we even try if they're already going to cut down what Christina School District is doing. So it already inhibits what our kids feel like their ability is and what they can look forward to, especially when a referendum didn't pass this year. And seeing the elementary school that's in Southbridge struggle, losing their vice principal, who was one of the only males in the school, lose their time, has a huge effect on how young black men especially talk about how they only see their fathers in jumpsuits at lunchtime. So I'm just trying to, hoping that as we try to figure out how this all is going to work, that we think about all those social ills that go around, everything that's happening to our kids, as we try to figure out from 4 to 2.
Thank you, Mr. Dixon. The next speaker is Wayman Dobson. And if you would say your name and then introduce yourself.
Good evening. My name is Wayna Dobson, and I am here as a concerned citizen. First, I want to thank State Representative Charles Potter, because if it was not for him, I would not even know that this forum was taking place on this evening. Second thing is that I live on the east side of Wilmington, and every day I see my neighbor's children getting up early in the morning. Their homes are not the best of homes. The majority of them are probably living underneath of poverty. And I believe, I was raised in private schools. And my grandfather used to always talk about the public school system when he was growing up. And everyone, a lot of people here in Wilmington went to Howard High School. And they came out being wonderful men and women. There was doctors and lawyers and judges and all an array of different people. And I believe that the same passion and value that was back then when my grandparents were in school is the same passion that we all need to have now. Like, who's going to speak up for the children who don't have a voice to speak up? They don't even know what to speak up for. So I'm here on their behalf. And my desire is that you all do what's best, not for you all, but for our youth. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Ms. Dobson. Our next speaker is Billy Allen.
Good evening. And I'm Billy Allen, by the way. This is.
Hi, and I'm Dr. Allen.
Good. We came up as a couple because we firmly believe that the family and the parenting part of this formula is the key. Along with that, in reviewing the documentation and the executive summary, I felt the need to discuss it on a reverse order. Our goal is to echo what was just stated. We are here to speak on behalf of our children, specifically our underserved children, which specifically you identify as children at risk. Our belief is that there is no child at risk. We believe that with the proper programs in place, but more important, the proper funding. So let's stop right there. When I look at the funding requirements of this plan to institute, I believe that we're underfunded. I believe that we get the proper funding from the state. I would think that several other districts, along with the districts that are stated that they would participate, i.e. Red Clay, along with Colonial, who agreed not to, as well as Brandywine, no longer as Christina agreed to. I think that these districts, and specifically the districts that have served in the city, if you look at the record of a district like the Brandywine School District, obviously they have the formula. But I will tell you that there had to be an investment made in that. And I'm not sure that the state, in my opinion, at this point, is properly prepared to make the proper investment to save our children. What do you mean by that? I simply mean that whatever requirements and programs that we discuss that we need, so often I think we allocate funds based on possibilities of what if the numbers are. My recommendation is that you increase it by a minimum of, and I'm going to use a number of 20%, to over budget for this program because of the things that happens in our district. If you look at the history that we've had, along with the accountability effort, I think we have room to improve. But there's a cost with accountability in putting those measurements and those criteria in place. So my suggestion is twofold. One is make sure that in our accountability methods and our criteria that it's clearly allocated the funds that you can properly measure it and allocate it. I noted in here you said you do annual reviews. I think that's great. I would suggest at the beginning of the program that we may even want to do biannual. A lot of things can happen over a year, and I don't want to take the risk of our children sacrificing a full year of education based on a recommendation that could have changed immediately. With that said, the flexibility that I think that our district and our state must have is that on the fly, if we can identify an issue and a problem that we all can agree, then let's make the change. Now, it's easier said than done, I understand that. But I think for the first 2 to 3 to 5 years out in this program, that we address that at the beginning of the recommendation and approval from the state. Therefore, when there's opportunity for us to go back to the state for the recommendation, we will have it in writing that we both mutually agree that we will make these allowances and those stipends. So I'm not looking to change the legislation law. I understand that will take time. But I think if we clearly find it in our recommendation up front, then I think it will be easier for us to describe it as we go along.
Just to echo what Bill has said, that I think it's important, if we're going to transition and really mean it, that we do put the dollars behind it. You know, and I know that was one of the recommendations. I responded to the initial documentation that came out in the report, and my feeling was we've gone through this many times to redistrict, to reorganize, and if we're going to do it, and I do commend the committee for all the time and work they've put into it, that we put the funding behind it, because, again, thoughts and ideas without funding, you know, go nowhere. So I think it's a great idea. We support you, but we'd like to make sure that we put the provisions in place. Thank you.
And in closing, I must commend the committee because it was the first one that I've seen that would actually clearly define measurements and accountability. Obviously, the number of people that now are accountable and disbursements of this total number, reducing that number obviously is the goal. It was clearly defined. And so I think that the efforts that we've done is do this, but the key element to this whole proposal, in my opinion, is the proper funding.
Thank you.
And Dr. Allen, your full name, just so we have it for the record.
Dr. Kim Allen, A-L-L-E.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we have one final speaker tonight, Ramona Fullman.
Good evening. My name is Ramona Fullman. I am here as a resident of the Grand Run School District, so I've done advocacy work in various capacities, and I lead two state government agencies. So my comments are brief, and I just want to frame them in the context of a quote by an environmentalist by the name of Terry Tempest Williams. Some of you may be familiar with her. She says that the eyes of the future are looking back at us and praying that we see beyond our times. So the work that you have before you is about now, but it's also about the future. What I know is that parents send their children, they walk, they drive, they catch the bus, to school and present them to educators and school districts and school boards and ask that they teach them all that they need to know to have upward mobility, to grow as individuals and as citizens and as contributors to our economy. That is your responsibility. Any child and every child deserves that. Every child that walks through the doors are your children. If they fail, you fail. The future fails. And it's just really important to me that you take this responsibility. There's a lot of politics in this, but in the long run, whatever happens during your tenure, all of you in your various capacities, what happens or fails to happen, you have to live with. And so I think that we collectively can do much better. There are people that are not here that should be here. Believe that parents, you know, I do advocacy for women, and there are lots of women who are very committed to a better life for their children. And so part of what they do, whether it's two jobs that they work or putting part-time jobs together, they hope that what they're doing, and then by sending their children to school, that their life will be better. And I'm hoping that you deliver on that. So I stand before you in the 30 seconds. I had vowed not to see that sign, but okay. Just to ask that you be deliberate, that you do for the children of the district what you would want for your own child, each of you, each child. There are lots of disparities and discriminatory things that happen. Those are the realities. But you have the capability and the responsibility to do something about it, and I hope you'll accept that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other interested parties who would like to speak? Hearing none, then, I would declare this hearing is closed. I want to thank you all for coming this evening. All comments made tonight or submitted between November the 17th and December the 8th will be considered as part of the final report submitted by WIC to the State Board of Education on December the 15th. All comments made today or submitted between November the 17th and January the 14th will be available to the State Board of Education to consider. Thank you again very much.